This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
FUBAR Radio presents Dave Hill's History Fluffer.
Can we talk about Lucy?
Sure.
Like, what the hell?
She's out of her mind.
Has she not gone out today?
Yeah, she's been out.
I mean, she's like... She's attacking her ball. She came down, running down the stairs, and leaped into the air, mm-hmm. and put her paws on, like, on the glass of the door.
She's...
barking.
Someone complained on, the reviews for So You're Canadian on iTunes that the dog sounds take away... from the show.
I call bullshit on
that. Wait a minute. Were they joking?
No.
They were just like...
Is this some weird podcast purist?
The title was something like, could be better.
That's always the best.
Wait, how long have you been recording?
Since you went shit. Was it a Canadian?
Yeah, this is my life we're talking about.
I think it was a Canadian.
It was a Canadian. Well,
because Canadians love dogs.
You would think at least one doesn't.
Apparently. Love dog hater in Toronto.
My only major criticism is that the sound quality isn't very good. For example, mm-hmm. interviewing over Skype isn't, in my opinion, the best sounding.
That's
true. Also, background dog noises are distracting. Don't get me wrong. I love dogs. I have a dog. But not as podcast background noise.
This is fair.
Yeah, but it kind of sounds like children should be seen and not heard.
We don't have that many dog sounds on So You're Canadian, though.
The thing is, like, they drink all that water and be like, dogs have it figured out. Just drink water. That's really the only liquid you need.
Yeah. All right.
Let's get on it.
Let's get on this. This is History Fluffer, the show with Dave Hill.
And Jim Biederman.
Yeah, myself.
And Chris Gersbeck.
Correct. I wasn't going to go that far, but all right.
Not Chris, but me and Chris. Returning to the fold.
Yeah.
Jody Lennon, I believe, is coming back very soon.
Correct. Oh, shit. You know, she texted me and I didn't respond.
Uh-oh. Now she's not coming back.
Oh, no.
Good job.
That's what you call talent relations.
What is she?
She's got a bone. She have femur. She found a femur in your apartment.
Well... I don't know where that... that's not a femur.
It's a femur.
No, it's not.
Why would she... How could she...
It's not true. It's not a femur. It just looks like a femur. And smells like a femur.
Oh, man. I don't know what you get up to when we're not here, but... This is History Fluffer with Dave Hill.
I get up to research.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
My question is, how do you dissolve the bodies? You put them, do you use the acid bath?
Okay, what you gotta do? Mm-hmm. You knew it, lime.
Lime.
Lime. It's
Lie.
Lie, yeah. That's it.
Not lie. Lime. Sitting there with all these limes.
This is why, yeah. Well, gradually it would work if you were to do that.
It's acidic enough to work.
Yeah, it would work. It would just take...
25 years.
A really long time.
Right. But then the cops have already arrested you.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, there was a murder, these cult killings in Ohio where they use lye.
To dissolve the body.
I think I've heard about this.
The Kirtland killings.
Kirtland killings, yeah. They were famous.
Yeah. They would,
But what was their rationale, and who was it? Was it like a married couple or something like that?
They were, I think, Mormons gone rogue. Basically. I mean...
Mormonism was not an Ohio thing, was it? Or was it a Pennsylvania thing?
We have them, I guess. Yeah, Latter-day Saint movement. That's LDS, the Mormons, right?
LDS, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he went a little haywire.
Mm-hmm.
And very misunderstood guy.
And they killed... Did they pick up girls or something, if I remember? Was that?
No, I think they just had a church, and then when someone did something they didn't like, they killed them.
Wow. That is a club you definitely don't want to belong to. Like, because you just never know when you're going to make a misstep. And then wake up the next day
and it's
dead.
Too late.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things.
I didn't know I was supposed to put that on the bulletin board.
Wait, so we're not doing a bake sale? Oh, I'm sorry. I already rented all these
card
tables.
What's that? It's just chloroform.
Wait, get away from stuff. I'm getting... Oh, man.
Is there... Well, what's the use of chloroform if it's to not...
Kill you?
Yeah.
It's supposed to immobilize you. Because you don't... You want to look yourself? A cat with a mouse. You want to play with your victim. You don't want to kill it right away.
Ugh.
Jesus Christ, Chris. Don't you know anything about mass murders? You watch all those scary movies. Now I think you think you know it. I think you know this shit.
Well, you see it being used a lot, but only in movies when it's like someone coming up from behind someone.
It's to immobilize them.
Yeah.
But I assume if you inhaled too much chloroform, you would probably die.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a very strong chemical.
This checks out.
Do you want to try it?
I mean, no, I wouldn't know. Saying. I would have no idea.
Yeah, no, I get it.
But, you know.
Just anyway, weird that you would find a femur in your apartment. And well, then, more importantly, that in turn, you've taught Lucy to find them.
Let me check on what she is actually.
So I'll do the intro. This is History Fluffer with Dave Hill, the show where we kind of explore Dave Hill's amazing, fascinating, intriguing life, where he has always been at the right place at the right time.
Or in some cases, the wrong place at the wrong right.
You could say that. The wrong place at the wrong time.
I don't know how this works.
The right place at the wrong time.
Yeah. Basically.
But you have been there for so many important movements. And you know, half the time I think this couldn't possibly be true, but it all checks out.
Yeah, it always checks out.
But you were there at... You were the sixth member of the Eagles?
Well, you know, it's funny you mention that, Jim, because the joke is, of course, that I was the seventh member, because as we all know, the sixth member was cocaine. Can we insert, like, a crowd laughter there?
Yeah, of course. And I would keep the request in.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you were involved. Now, if I remember correctly, we've heard so many of these stories; they all start to blend together. But Son of Sam.
Yeah. Oh, that one was embarrassing. What happened was basically I was Son of Sam's dog walker.
Son of Sam was the
neighbor.
Right.
And yes, well, that's like a real. Hindsight 2020 thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, there but for the great. Well, I was gonna say there but for the grace of God go I, but I already did go there.
And God really had nothing.
I don't know. I mean, but yeah, but things are great with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm in a good place now.
You were part of the original founding members of the business partners in CBGB's.
Yes, that can't be debated.
Which was a family... Originally, your idea was... Yeah.
Supposed to be a family-friendly restaurant for people with on-the-go lifestyles flying out of Newark Airport.
What happened?
Because
it definitely wasn't at Newark at the time.
No. One thing led to another, and I ended up being a... exactly what I described, but on the Bowery in New York City.
Oh, it was family friendly?
The first couple hours, yeah.
What happened after that?
You know, I think my partner's vision not aligned with
that
my...
That would be Hilly Crystal, I believe.
Vision. Yeah, I believe that was who it was.
So long ago.
You
lived at the time, and then we'll get into this week's story, but at the time you lived... On the 47th floor walk-up?
Yeah. Studio apartment.
Is that on 12th Avenue or 11th?
It was at 73rd and 16th.
Oh, 16th.
Yeah.
That is even 16th what?
Basically
where?
Water.
Everything's, you know, because of erosion and everything. I mean, the city's changed so much.
Well, I don't know if that much. I mean,
no, it can't be.
Is it Manhattan? Are you talking about Manhattan?
Yeah, Manhattan, New York City.
Because that sounds like 73rd and 16th sounds more like Astoria or Brooklyn, deep Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, well, you know how, like, a lot of cities have Broadway?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's why, like, there's the 16th Avenue and some of the outer boroughs sort of.
So they've closed the 16th Avenue in Manhattan and just relocated it, if
basically,
you will.
Basically, yeah. Renamed it. Yeah, yeah. Just sort of like gerrymandering.
Okay. Well, this is a while ago. It was a different time.
Totally different time.
But today we want to talk about this. Is really, really interesting. The Seattle sound known as grunge.
Oh, well, let's back it up a little bit.
All right.
I wound up hitchhiking. And, you know, when the you have saying like, hey, San Francisco or bust or, I don't know, what's like another city, Akron or bust, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Or we'll sleep for a ride. We'll sleep with you for a ride.
Did they, is that was on signs?
No.
Really?
I'm just asking.
But, well, then isn't the reply from the driver is ask gas or grass, nobody rides for free.
I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah, I remember seeing a T-shirt of that as a kid and being like, wait a minute, what does that mean?
Right.
I think I can put this together.
How long did it take you? Did you know what ass meant at that time?
I had a feeling.
Like a piece of ass? I mean, did you have that? It took me forever to understand.
That ass just meant like.
Why would you want someone's ass? That's gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then by the time it's 15 or 16, you're like, oh, I go. Oh. And then I was embarrassed for 5 years for realizing I hadn't known what it was for the first 14
years. That just reminds me.
Years.
I saw a Trump supporter T-shirt that said, stomp on my flag and I'll eat your ass.
Well, where's his flag? Because I'm there.
Someone actually printed shirt.
Yeah.
Stomp
on my flag and I'll eat your ass.
Wow, that is someone.
By the way,
who
says the Trump supporters are fucked up? Who says that? Because that is not fucked. That is an invitation for fun.
Oh yeah. So wait a minute. This is reminding me. Not that, I hate to get off topic on this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But. I remember as a kid not understanding, and I'm dating myself here, though there is a potential for reruns. Could have been watching. But on Laverne and Shirley, I had to have an older neighborhood kid explain to me. I didn't understand why Laverne was stuffing her bra, like why they would do that. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, what? I don't get it.
Right.
Why are they
right.
putting stuff in their bra?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, because they want to have big boobs.
Yeah.
And I was like, why?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, cuz, like, and then that led to him explaining me, like.
Wait, this story doesn't end with you eating his ass, does it?
No, I was 26 at the time. No, I was probably like.
Slow learner.
I was literally probably like 6 or 7 years old.
So you wanted to know why big boobs were an attractive thing, or you just didn't?
I had no
idea. I mean, it sounds like at 6 years old, you don't even have any concept of.
Any
sexuality.
Clearly. I mean, clearly.
It's totally normal.
And also, so he explained that to me, that big boobs were desirable.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, got it. Mm-hmm. And then he's the same guy, I think a year later, some kid on the playground tried to explain to me that the way.
I thought you were going to say exposed.
He exposed himself.
This is weird.
No, a kid tried to tell me that babies. The guy. Babies from anal sex. He was like. It's like the man fertilizes. He puts his penis in the woman's butt.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I think that's common. Because, yeah.
And I heard that too.
And I immediately after school, I'm like, hey, can you come over here? I want to check something with you. And that's when
this is the older friend.
Yeah, he's like 6 years older.
First of all, a 12-year-old hanging out with a 6-year-old is not in any way creepy or weird.
Well, we lived on the same block.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like neighborhood kids, like, but you know, where you just wander into each other's backyards.
Right. You'd say, what was his name?
I don't want to say who it was when you're like making these suggestions.
I'm not making any. It's just like, call him Tom. We'll call him. Hey, Tom. Hey, Davey. What's going on? Hey, I got a question for you. And you would say,
Is it true that babies come from the man putting something up the woman's butt?
Something.
Well,
his penis.
Yeah.
And what did Tom say?
He said, "Sit down. Come sit over here."
On my lap.
No, he explained it all to me, and I was just like,
"Is he naked?"
I don't recall. I remember just walking home, like, "Whoa, I got an earful today.
Mind is blown."
Yeah, I was just like, "Can't believe it." And I was just
did he explain it correctly?
Yeah, basically.
Said the butt has nothing to do with it.
He said it can.
He's no, he was like, no. First of all, the man puts his penis inside the woman's vagina. He fertilizes it, and then she poops out the baby. That's poops. The butt
that's
part.
Shit, baby.
Yeah,
that's the butt part.
What's funny is I remember my brother telling me that the baby comes out of the butt, and then I was babysitting his daughter, my niece, 4-year-old niece, who said, "If I push hard enough, will a baby come out of my butt?"
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think he told her that too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that's accurate.
What I like about that is that it's even a smaller orifice than the vagina itself.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that pain.
What, the butt?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that.
This episode got talking off to a weird start.
Talking about the actual, the canal, if you will.
Oh, the butt canal?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the technical term. Oh.
I'm not a doctor, but I believe you're talking about the butt canal.
Yes, sir. Yes, Dr. Hill.
This is one of those moments where, like, you get distracted for 1 second on this show,
mm-hmm.
and you're
right.
You could be lost,
right?
Because we're at butt canal now,
mm-hmm.
and I
but
think
let's
it's
go back to the, let's go back to the 80s.
Extremely difficult to get off of the butt canal. Well, speaking of canals,
mm-hmm. but you were hitching your ride.
I was hitching a ride. I was trying to get to Denver, actually.
Beautiful town.
Beautiful this time of year.
I'm from Denver.
Yeah. Do you summer in Denver?
No.
Do you ever go back to Denver?
Was there about a year ago?
Do you go by the old spots and be like...
There was... This is something like when I take... someone who's not from Denver to Denver, you know, family member or whatever, or friend. There is a church near where I grew up, kind of a more modern Catholic church, you know, the kind of red brick,
mm-hmm.
slanty roof, like they were 70s churches, really ugly church. But in one of their modern stained glass windows facing out towards the parking lot, which is a beautiful view, there one year around Christmas... the face of Jesus appeared in the stained glass.
Wow. Was it...
No, it wasn't there originally.
Just by chance. Just, like,
well,
what,
not chance.
How
by,
so?
Or by the Lord.
What, I mean, like, how did it
someone
appear?
Noticed that it was, in fact, his crying visage.
Like, what was it caused by? Like, rain or something?
No, by God. What do you mean?
Oh, boy.
So...
And it definitely wasn't there before.
And here's... Well, I don't know about that part. But here's the weird part, is that it only appears, like, for about a month... every year.
Mm-hmm. Wait, it happens every year?
Every year, so I'll take someone there, because I think it's kind of cool. And you really, by the way, honest with you, you got to squint pretty fucking hard to see Jesus' tears.
Is it, can you see, so Jesus is already in the glass?
No, it's like his face appears in this corner of the glass, and his eyes are closed, and he's got a beard. He kind of looks like you, Chris.
For those at home that aren't aware, Chris Gersbeck looks exactly like Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
With glasses.
A white Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And then you would see these kind of tears of, like, you know, teardrops
uh-huh.
coming down the side. As if he'd had, the tattoos painted on.
Was it just, like, a magic eye? Like, one of those...
Maybe.
Things.
Probably was.
Wait,
you
no.
stare at it hard enough?
Yeah. Yeah. I see it. Mm-hmm. I see it. Oh, no, I don't. No, I see it.
What did it...
And so there would be lines, you know,
to go see. What about, is it more so than Toast Christ?
Mm. Well, I've never seen, I know about Toast Christ, but I've never seen actual Toast. No, I've seen the pictures, but I've never been in person. I've never seen Toast Christ.
If you have.
You've changed forever. No, but so I'll take people to there, to that thing. But Denver's changed a lot. Definitely changed since in the late 80s when you were hitching a ride to it.
Well,
did you see how I did that?
What happened with me, yeah, you brought it back full circle. Yeah. I got a ride to Denver. I was, my aim was to, I to be a vent, work in the vent with the vendors, in wait, be a hot did dog you, vendor at the Denver Broncos game.
At the Mile High Stadium.
Yeah. So
and this is before the new Mile High Stadium.
Yeah, when it was, it's about 700 yards at the time. And I, it, what happened with me is Denver's playing...
the Broncos.
Broncos. The Denver Broncos are playing one of the other pro football teams, right? And...
Which one?
The sporty ones.
Who cares, right? It's the Broncos versus who cares.
Yeah, and so they...
one of the sporty ones.
So I was really good at my job, right?
Were you a stationary vendor, or would you go up and down?
No. And if you hot dogs, get your hot dogs, ketchup, mustard.
That sounds more like a baseball
thing. No, but I mean, that's the thing. Like, it was like, I was...
Did you sell other things? Suggestion. Did you sell popcorn or beer? Or?
I was mostly hot dogs, just but I got upgraded to footlongs.
Wait. So you were selling just the regular old dirty water dogs that are 6 inches?
Yeah, but if you're really good at your job...
Right. Why? How's that? How do you get upgraded to the footlong? Why do you want to get upgraded to the footlong?
Because that's the big dance, isn't it?
Do you get
bored? I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
That's the the big show, selling footlongs.
Are they? Do you get more money?
Vending's highest honor.
Well, if you get, you probably get more tips if it's more expensive, right?
Oh, wait, I think how is it vending's highest honor to sell footlong hot dogs?
It's an unwieldy meat. Mm-hmm. It's tricky. You have to deal
the
with
the bun stays the same, right? That's just good. You got 6 inches.
No.
Larger bun
too. But what happens is the problem with footlongs is a lot of times everyone wants a footlong hot dog, right? From grown men who can handle it. And
I don't know what that means.
I'm just saying it's a large portion of hot dog meat. But the little kids are like, I want, so you're battling with kids. Right.
Their eyes are bigger than their stomach.
Yeah, exactly. You're running into that a lot. Right. You're running into, people not being able to finish the dogs, et cetera. And it's just like a lot
of... Once you've sold the foot-long hot dog, do you give a shit whether they finish it or not?
I personally don't give a shit, but they certainly make it known when they can't, when you come back around to their section.
I couldn't possibly.
It's quite a headache. Footlong hot dogs.
So you got got promoted.
Promoted. I was on the footlong.
Upgraded.
Yeah, I was upgraded to footlongs. And I was on that beat for a while, right? And then as a result of...
It's amazing how you're using such strange... I got upgraded. I was on that beat. I don't even know.
Listen, if you've never been in the vent...
Done concessions.
I apologize for slipping into lingo.
Jargon.
In jargon.
Yeah.
But vending, it's the vendor's game, you know?
Sure.
Preferential treatment to the footlong guys. We got the cleanest vests. First dibs on the...
not a clean vest. The cleanest vest. There's a big difference there.
Well, yeah.
Would be normally on a vest?
If you're selling, Cracker Jack or something, yeah. I mean, that stuff is... I wouldn't put sticky that under a black light. I mean, that's just... But yeah, no. We were the rock stars of the vending world. Uh-huh. The footlong guys.
Sure.
It's rare air up there, let me tell you. And I'm talking, Anyway, so... but
heavy competition.
Heavy competition, and so I was trying to differentiate myself, right?
Sure.
How do I be the number one footlong hot dog guy?
Because what do you get for that? Is there, do you get bonuses? Do you get?
Just the, that feeling, that pride of knowing you're number one. King of the dogs. Top dog, as it were.
So to speak.
So, yeah, what happened, though? So, and anyway, my... Desire to stick out, no pun intended.
Now, are there just a sidestep? Is there a bunch of like kind of jokey, punny, footlong hot dog things you in the course of your
there must be
work amongst the other footlongers? If I guess, what would you call them?
Oh, but yeah, the dog boys.
The dog boys. Would there be puns made constantly?
Yeah. I mean, like anything is fair game in the locker room. Do you have a bun for this? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we know how that ends. Mm-hmm. But basically, you know, that was fair play in the locker room, but I didn't know, you know, I was just a kid essentially. And there's basically a sight gag that I would, do usually around the third quarter,
right,
when I was really trying to move the last of my dogs,
right,
and it was frowned upon by the front office.
Like a sight gag for your fellow employees or customers?
Customers and unfortunately nuns and children on occasion by accident. Yeah, I'm not proud of this. You know, basically, if I can, I don't want to telegraph exactly what happened, but. The punchline was always, wait, now even I'm confused. Sort of a side-by-side comparison.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
I see,
like,
I see,
it's like, wait a minute.
Right.
Which one did you order? Yeah. Okay. So you see the potential for the humor in there.
But humor, a brand of humor that is...
frowned upon.
Correct.
By
almost everyone.
By, literally, at least half that stadium. Mm-hmm. You're in the starting lineup.
Sure.
Anyway, so what happened with me, so I'm basically run out of town. Who comes whizzing by? Same truck driver. Because, you know, they do the routes. They have the routes.
Right,
they
right.
just, you know.
Over and every day.
Yeah, white line fever. And and I say, get me out of here. Mm. And the same guy. And we end up in the Yukon.
Right.
Straight on up to the Yukon.
Sure.
Where I get a job, I'm working in the sort of, you know, it's a gold, panning for gold.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course.
And, you know the saying, you make your own fun?
No.
Yeah, it's a saying. Basically, you know, because the thing is...
how you're, oh, you mean when you've got, when there's not...
When there's a lot of, you know... Not a lot of fun
to do. Like you just
gotta
figure.
You gotta figure out how you're gonna make things fun.
Because you're in the Yukon.
Yeah, it's
panning for gold.
Yeah. Anyway, and we're going stir crazy up there. It's cold.
Sure.
It's wet.
Sure.
Sometimes you're panning for days before you get even, you know, a glimmer, and a lot of times it's just a reflection in the water or the whatever.
Oh,
and
fool's gold.
Yeah, fool's gold. I was gonna ask if you're you sound like you're a real nugget man there for a second. And if you're in the game, that's what we used to call ourselves.
So guys who were in that game in the game, yeah,
nugget men.
Jesus.
Anyway, but you know, I love to have fun, and essentially another sight gag was frowned upon, I guess. And what happened was that I said, can you, hey, I think I got some nuggets here. Mm. Was the mm-hmm. What I would do is I would, you know, you panic for, I would, when, you know, some of the other guys weren't looking, I would
they all come running over?
Yeah, and I would have done this exposed. I would have dropped my, like, this is embarrassing, as all these years later. I would drop my testicles into the and say, like, do these, what do you think of these nuggets?
These are pretty big.
And what was their reaction?
It was funny the first couple hundred times. And then one day I was sent home without one.
Well, who? The head of UConn? Who sends you home?
Top nugget man.
And home being?
I was basically just asked to leave town.
This is, Yukon is, Alaska?
No, it's in Canada.
It's in Canada.
Yeah. So, but it's way up there, right? Mm-hmm. And I wind up, you know, just the clothes on my back, essentially, in my knapsack, uh-huh. sort of rucksack, backpack.
Right.
Ack-based stuff. Mm-hmm. And I...
What's the what? Ack?
Just words that and rhyme mm-hmm. with that. And,
Sure.
So I wind up coming down
right.
The sort of Pacific Trail or whatever. Mm-hmm. I wind up in Seattle.
Oh.
Yeah.
What year is this?
It is about, we're talking about 89
mm-hmm.
at
wow.
this point. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, it, to the what, timing.
Paint a picture of Seattle, 1989. What's going on?
What very, the Mariners were a team.
You kind of took your resume of top dog. Sorry. Took your resume of top dog.
Yeah, I have.
Was it off?
All...
No.
Your resume of top dog vendor sales.
Yeah, but
and
I'm,
applied for the one in Seattle. Is that where
I? No, I basically, you know, in traveling, my clothes were ripped to shreds.
Why?
Just from weather, hopping in and out of, you know. Do you know what a lot lizard is?
No.
Chris, do you know what a lot lizard is?
I think so.
What do you think
it's
it
like,
is?
They're like prostitutes, aren't they?
Okay.
They hang out in parking lots and...
Oh, at truck stops.
Lot lizard. Yeah. Like a pit lizard.
Like
or,
tail... Like,
I don't know what a pit lizard is.
They go around to tailgate parties.
Wait, what are you talking about? There's no tailgate parties at truck stops.
No, I'm saying lot lizards, like they hang out in parking lots and they...
Okay, I'm looking it up in Urban Dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
Lot lizard is... Female who sells her body by going from truck to truck uh-huh. at truck stops, usually. And I'm just quoting here.
Uh-huh.
Pussy or blowjobs, whatever the truck driver can afford. Also,
it's
horrible.
Exclusive to truck stops, though? I didn't know that. I guess it makes sense.
Lot lizard. Then, like, a pit lizard would be on the racetrack.
Oh, my God. The horses or the cars?
Okay, pit lizard is a raunchy girl normally found in a NASCAR garage mm-hmm. looking to pick up a good-looking driver with lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
See whore or skank. This is a very...
I like that it's cross-referenced.
Approve of any of this.
It's cross-referenced. So
talk.
What, I'm sorry, were you a lot lizard?
No, I just want to see if Chris knew what it was.
Oh, okay.
No, basically, all by way of saying, you know, I did what I had to do to get...
To get back to the U.S.
Do you know what a puck bunny is?
No, I don't.
A woman who goes to hockey games for the sole purpose of fucking one of the players. Again, just...
puck honey. Were you a puck honey?
You know, I wasn't.
You did what you had to do to get back to the
U.S. Just in the women's leagues, I was a puck bunny. You could say. There's women's semi-pro leagues. Anyway, the reason I bring all this up...
This image of you in, like, hot pants with, like, a satin travel jacket just and skates.
Yeah, that's about right.
Hmm.
But though, as a puck bunny, you don't have to go on the ice.
Right.
You just have to be, like, kind of around. Maybe hang out with the Zamboni. Hang out by the locker.
What do they call, you know, baseball, it's a dugout. What's the hockey equivalent of a dugout? Is there one?
The bench.
The bench.
Bench bitch.
Mm-hmm. That's another one?
Yeah.
I think you just made that up.
I may have.
Yeah. So, you basically, I mean, I want to say this in the most polite way, but you essentially exchanged services...
Did what I had to do.
Mm-hmm. To get a ride? Like, what was it to get a ride, or what was it? What were you exchanging for to get back to the United States? Money?
What was I exchange?
What would you exchange your services for?
Oh, for a ride or money.
Yeah.
Basically.
Food.
Food. What have you. I got a box set
of what?
8-track cassettes of
Please say it was Paul Simon's greatest hits.
It was actually, and it was included in it was Graceland.
Mm-hmm.
And
Still Crazy.
All that stuff. What's yeah.
The,
and the others.
Kodachrome. What's that one from? Kodachrome.
There goes Ryman Simon.
There goes Ryman Simon. And One Trick Pony. I hope One Trick Pony was in the collection.
Oh, yeah.
His movie debut as a director.
Dave looked so angry when I said, "There goes Ryman Simon."
What were you upset
that's
about?
I didn't realize that was an actual album cover.
That was, yeah. That was.
I'm not well versed in Paul.
Me and Julio Sorry. Down by the schoolyard. I think is on right
me
now.
Me and Julio down.
That's on the self-titled.
Oh my god! How are you such a big Paul Simon fan?
I don't know.
Are you a huge fan?
I mean, I like him.
I mean, he's talented.
My parents were huge fans. So growing up, I just knew a lot about Paul Simon.
He lives here in town, I think.
He did. He moved to Connecticut.
Oh.
Because I read an article about a year ago where the cops were called. He lives with...
Yeah, it's the whole thing.
Oh.
What's her name?
I forget. Emmy Lou
Harris. No, not Emmy Lou Harris.
Edie Brickell.
Edie Brickell.
Oh, there was like a domestic disturbance.
Yeah, but apparently it was that she beat him up because he's like
They said it was 79. A big misunderstanding, but, you know.
I would let Edie Brickell slap me around.
Who wouldn't?
I feel like we're getting off topic.
We are, but I can just one last note on Paul Simon is that his hair pieces.
His hair pieces?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But he has three different lengths to make
really?
It give the appearance that
it's growing.
Yeah. So,
really?
Yeah. And so he would like wear the short one for a while, and then a couple weeks later he'd start wearing the longer one, and you'd actually start to think like, oh, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it is his hair. But then he'd get a haircut. And it would be exactly the same as the first one. You said, wait a minute. And I think now, I don't even know if he wears it anymore.
I don't think he does. He finally admitted.
Oh, so he was doing this for a time.
For a long time. I think in the early 70s he went bald.
I knew a guy in
Chris
college.
Would know.
Yeah, because
yeah, no,
he seemed to be the authority.
I remember I saw him in 1991 when I was like 7 years old. And
okay.
My dad pointing out
this
that
is bullshit.
My dad pointing out that he wore a hairpiece, and I was like, "No, that's impossible." And, I mean, it is. It's a good hairpiece.
Then you both started dancing to me and Julio down
yeah,
the
exactly.
schoolyard, or Kodachrome. Which one was it? Or Cecilia? Was it Cecilia or Celia?
Cecilia was a Simon and Garfunkel.
I know, but maybe I'm sure he sang it in his.
I think he did
because he wrote all that shit.
Yeah,
Art Garfunkel would go fuck himself.
When I saw him in Forest Hills last year.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Again with your parents?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
You can be talked into anything.
It was his last concert, supposedly.
He's never going to do it again?
That's what he says.
That night?
How was he as a performer? He seemed very...
He's good, but I think everyone was expecting Garfunkel to come out at the end, and he didn't. And
really?
It felt like you could feel a collective disappointment.
They hate each other.
Yeah.
Why?
They just do not like each other for years.
They do not get along.
That's too bad.
Paul Simon's not a nice guy.
He's not?
No.
How do you know that? Do you know him? I mean, don't talk out of school.
I won't talk out of school, except I can tell you that his office was in another famous person's office that I did work for.
Oh,
and,
interesting.
Yeah, and we used to deal with him all the time, and his office, and it was like a miserable bunch of people. Like they hated working there because he was kind of abusive.
Did he have like his own private bathroom he wouldn't let anyone use?
No, that's another guy.
I have a question.
If that's who you're asking about.
Why does Paul Simon need an office?
Because it's interesting. He actually owns all his publishing.
Oh, so he has an office of like...
He did. He doesn't anymore.
Well, like where like people...
Would be licensing his music and stuff.
Administrate
his music. Okay. And, you know, chase you for every fucking penny there was.
Yeah. Licensing the music that he stole from
Correct.
Other people.
Correct. Yeah. First of all, he appropriated it. He didn't steal it.
On the Graceland album?
Like Ladysmith Black Mambazo.
Well, he stole from like Los Lobos, I think.
Yeah.
He did too?
Yeah, well, there was a lawsuit. Yeah.
They wrote a lot of those songs and then he just took them.
Wait,
the other part of that story
they wrote them
is,
together?
essentially he'd come in and jam.
Supposedly, they would play stuff that they wrote, and then he would
take it.
Yeah,
I think they won. Didn't
what
they?
A knob!
I think so, yeah,
he's a bit of a knob. The entire premise of Graceland, the kind of using South African
musicians,
music, native music, was actually an assistant of his, gave him a tape.
Right.
Kind of a compilation of
like Zydeco music.
Right. And he was like, this is great. And then I think he fired her or something. And then he comes out about a year later with Graceland. She commits suicide.
What?
Holy shit. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. Ugh. Now, this is a long trail of tears. No
I am starting to think negatively about
Paul Simon.
Well, it's interesting because I know where the story's going. And as, you know, kind of a musician who appropriates other people's material at a certain point in his career to revitalize his career.
Now you're accusing me?
No, I'm not accusing you. I'm saying, so you end up in Seattle.
Well, it's interesting that you said this.
Yeah.
Because I'm in Seattle, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've been hitchhiking for weeks. My hair is long. I'm going through a lot of, the weather's changing a lot, so I'm wearing like long hair. I have a winter hat on. I basically wear it all the time.
Do you have three hair pieces?
Well, like a cap or what kind of, it's like a knit cap?
Yeah, like a knit cap.
Mm-hmm. It's a look.
You know how like those year-round winter hat guys?
Sure.
Like that they have in L.A. where sure. There'd be just some guy.
Yeah.
And he'll
like
have a
Silent
winter.
Bob.
Yeah, and he'll have a winter hat on. Yeah. Only, and you'll be like, it's 80 degrees out. What's up?
Right, like just like Silent Bob.
Yeah. And
Silent Bob wears the cap. It's Jay.
Jay, sorry. I don't know. It's not my favorite movie. There's a new one.
And then, so like, I'm there and I have, you know, my pants are ripped to shreds.
Right? Just like, you mean your jeans are just...
Everything. My whole thing is raggedy.
And this is from what? From being on the
I've been,
lot?
I've been sucking and fucking my way all the way to Seattle, basically. My knees are worn out.
Oh my God.
So you have holes in your jeans.
Yeah.
I don't want to telegraph. I'm just saying I did what I needed to do to get.
I don't think telegraphing is the right. When you actually state it as fact.
Okay. All right. Anyway, I wind up. I'm in Seattle, and everyone's like, "You look amazing, right?"
Mm.
You're
wearing your cap. Jeans are all shredded. What are you wearing, like as a shirt? Like, what kind of shirt are you wearing?
I'm wearing, at the time I was collecting what would become known as sort of retro-ironic t-shirts, right?
Mm-hmm. That it's a retro-ironic t-shirt.
Like a spam t-shirt, right? Mm-hmm. You know, but I
wear... Of course, you were never eating spam.
I worked at the spam factory.
Oh.
I didn't want to get into it.
So it's a totally unironic t-shirt.
Yeah, it was my uniform from work.
Right. But people took it as like...
Oh, that's cool. Let's get in on that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, and everyone's
I
like,
didn't know
did
there was
this?
A spam factory in Seattle.
And I'm running, running away. People are just like asking, yeah, they have to make spam somewhere.
I just didn't know it was there.
What do you mean?
I thought it was somewhere
else. In
Seattle.
Yeah. No, it's not in Seattle.
Oh, no. I'm not asking you to verify.
Sort of in my travels.
I guess I am kind of asking you.
Spam. Okay. It is... I find out. Yeah, it's based in Minnesota. This is when I...
it's not checking out.
No, if you look at the route... Because, you know, when you're hitchhiking, mm-hmm. you don't get...
Oh, I get you. You were in Minnesota working at the spam
One
pack.
Thing leads to... Yeah, it's you kind of wend your way to... spam is pork. Pork with ham meat added. Isn't that redundant? Redundant?
Yeah.
Anyway, basically, everyone's like, you know, Dave, what's up? You know, you seem like the coolest guy. And I'm sort of like running from people, right?
Mm-hmm. Like he's always seems like he's got demons chasing him.
Yeah, and there's a construction site. There's like, these guys are doing, the manhole cover is, you know, open. So they're doing some road work. You see, you know,
is this a metaphor for something?
No, it's actually what's going on.
Oh, okay.
And I fall, run in my, distracted, and I fall down this manhole. I injure myself horribly, and I'm going like, you know, injured horribly.
Wait, what are you doing? Are you in the manhole when you're doing this?
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like you're kind of doing like a Jimmy.
But are you like, yeah?
I'm in a horrible amount of pain.
You're trying to get people to
like, I'm helping you.
Yeah, yeah. Because I've been hitting the throat. I'm going. And
it sounds like Jimmy Durante.
And they're like, Dave, you okay? And I say, I'm still alive.
Boo.
So there's just a bunch of faces looking down this manhole, and you're going,
I'm still alive.
I'm still alive.
Basically, that's what happened.
I didn't know you had such a beautiful... what do you call it?
Voice of an angel?
Voice of an angel, but baritone? Would you call it baritone?
Think you're simplifying it.
So who were... Did the people that were calling down to you, did they end up being anyone...
Have you heard of Pearl Jam?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Pearl Jam.
I have all the members of Pearl Jam except for... Or all of them?
All of them. All the guys.
So Eddie Vedder...
Jeff Ament, Mike McCready, Stone Gossard,
this really happened.
Yeah, Dave Abruzzese, I think, was the drummer.
Right. Who cares? He's the drummer.
They had a couple different drummers.
They had a lot of different drummers.
Okay.
That checks.
It checks out.
You looked it up?
All those names.
And so you're in this manhole, in the sewer, I guess, right? Looking up, back hurt, whatever is hurting.
I'm a mess.
Yeah.
Basically.
You've fallen 10 feet, 20 feet?
Yeah, at least.
And you're just calling up and saying, I'm still alive.
Yeah, and like I see, they're all...
What are they doing? What are they doing?
Oh, writing everything down.
Those bastards.
It's like the Eagles all over again.
Oh, yeah. No, that's...
Writing stuff. Everything that comes out of your mouth is gold. No pun intended.
Mm-hmm. And, basically.
Yeah. And they're just writing down your ideas.
Mm-hmm.
They're not helping? They're not trying to help you? Man, these people are assholes.
No, because they wanted to see what...
what they would say.
What was going
to
come...
What would they ask you? Like, what do you want us to do?
Yeah, what's going to come out of my mouth next, basically.
Right.
They were just like... You know, this guy seems like the coolest guy, and they're just writing it all down. And do you know what mole people are?
They live in the subway, right?
Right, they live underground. They live in tunnels.
Okay, well, you're simplifying it, but yeah, it's basically.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's when I ended up... kind of fell in with a group of mole people for a while.
What do you mean you fell into? Did they help you? Did they save you?
Well, they took me, raised me as one of their own.
How old are you?
26.
So what do you need raising for? You mean just like kind of nursed you back to health?
Yeah, yeah.
I have always had this image of mole people. Like, is it like Morgan Freeman with like crazy, like, flashlight helmets and special X-ray glasses.
No, the problem is your eyes. After a while, there's sort of an attrition when you're down there, and you lose. I couldn't really get a good sight of what they would do, what they look like,
because
my eyes were going. You know, when you like a cake decorating thing, you just snip the end off.
Oh, for
the front. Yeah,
uh-huh. Yeah.
Basically, I don't know what was in that thing, but they would just
squeeze it right in.
Yeah, I have no idea. It was, I believe it was, spiced ham, sort of.
Oh God.
And
ham and spam, and ham's playing a big part in the story.
Yeah. Well. Basically, I got out. You know, eventually, made my way out, and then I.
You still wearing the spam t-shirt? Like, what are you wearing?
Oh, I was wearing...
you must have smelled.
I didn't smell great.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then I wind up, I'm like, I'm gonna get out of here. I go further north, and I formed Nickelback. Do you know Nickelback?
Oh, you formed Nickelback.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but wow. But of course, everyone was like, "Oh, this is a copycat thing."
Right. I mean, you know, you're so close to what became Pearl Jam. Mm-hmm. They could have saved you.
But no, but in my time, this is the thing. You know. Mm-hmm. By the time I came out mm-hmm. with my thing, mm-hmm.
And your thing being Nickelback.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was too late.
I'm not sure I would tell a lot of people that.
Well, I'm just... No, I mean, you know, had it been first, mm-hmm. you know, it would have been...
Right.
Innovative.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't...
But you were just doing what you do. I mean, it's not even like you were imitating these people.
I was still in a lot of pain.
Because you're lying in the bottom of the...
It was in a lot of pain. I had hit my jaw very hard, and I was sort of like... So,
It's a unique singing style, I'll say that much.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, who's to say that you didn't do it first? That maybe Eddie Vedder, so to speak, a la Paul Simon, appropriated it mm-hmm. from you, well, as you lied in the...
Eddie Vedder is to me
sewer.
As Paul Simon is to Ladysmith, Black Mamba, basically. There you have
Eddie
it.
Eddie Vedder is to you. This is like an SAT thing. Uh-huh. As Paul Simon is to Ladysmith. So you're Ladysmith back on Mazza.
Well, yeah. Well, no, I'm me still.
No, I know you're you, but in the metaphor, in the right. simile, in the simile thing.
That's exactly right. Got it. Basically, he ripped me off.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now we have to keep that Paul Simon stuff in.
Also, I played the bass solo on Call Me Al. Totally that was mine. I mean,
the weird, video has Chevy Chase in it.
Weird coincidence.
You played that
song's so funny.
You actually played it, or you just played it. That always gets a huge applause break after.
In the live shows?
In the live shows.
Oh, the bass player? Mm-hmm. Who plays it? Just the bass studio guy?
It's actually the same guy who's... Is that Lucy?
Hey, sweet Lou. Yeah, she is not a
so bored.
Paul Simon fan.
All right.
Anyway, that's my story. I'm going to hit the can.
Incredible.
It really is.
Down. I was blinded when our eyes met. in the loose. It's my book about Canada. No matter where you are, I think you should read it. Park in the Moose. My grandpa was from Canada, so I decided to uncover my incredible Canadian roots. I traveled through Canada near and far. I ate more poutine than 10,000 rocket Richards. That's a lot of cheese curd. Park in the Moose. It's my book about Canada. It's a fascinating country. It's easy to see. I could have written 50 chapters on just Geddy Lee. To tell them. Park in the Moose. It's my book about Canada. 37 million people. No, they can't be wrong. And if you don't believe me, ask Celine Dion. I bathe in Crown Royal. I finish every sip while eating Tim Hortons and rocking to the hip. In 2012, Canada ditched the penny. My favorite TV show is Letterkenny. The Montreal bagel is the food of the gods. I prefer my heavy metal in the form of Voivod. Park in the Moose. 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 Nailed it. Hi, I'm Dave Hill from Show Business. And while I'm not from Canada, my grandfather Clarence Vincent Blake Sr. was, and he wouldn't shut up about it. My grandfather moved on to that great penalty box in the sky way back in the 80s. Still, all these years later, I can't help but wonder, what do we really know about Canada and its people? Which is why my friend Chris Gersbeck and I decided to make So, You're Canadian. Brand new podcast from the Maximum Fun Network, on which I attempt to get to know our neighbors to the north, one Canadian at a time. While I'm at it, I'll also attempt to answer some tough questions like, who are the tragically hip, and what exactly do they want from us? What is curling? And perhaps more importantly, why is curling? And last but not least, how could a country so close to the United States manage to be so very different from us? To get these answers, I'll talk to people like author and known Canadian Malcolm Gladwell, comedian and star of one of my favorite TV shows, Letterkenny, K. Trevor Wilson, and Regina, Saskatchewan-based First Nations filmmaker Trudy Stewart, just to name a few. New episodes will be released every Tuesday, and I promise you, they will be so Canadian, you're probably going to want to eat poutine and guzzle maple syrup straight from the bottle while you listen. For more info, go to MaximumFun.org immediately. And be sure to subscribe to So You're Canadian on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever else you get incredible and seriously Canadian podcasts. So, You're Canadian, coming to Maximum Fun, August 27th. And I'm not sorry. Ah,
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.